How many are thankful for Jesus today? I'm thankful that he's a faithful God, that he helps us. Tell your neighbor, Jesus loves you and Jesus is with you. Encourage someone in the room and online today. Build up their faith. You may be seated. Thank you so much for being at this worship experience. And I want to welcome all the treatment centers that stream us into their facility right now. We love and believe in you. And everyone watching online, a part of the online campus. And what a great day to be in the house of God, to worship Jesus and to honor, I would say, mothers, grandmothers, mother figures, future mothers. How many are thankful for mothers today? Let's give it up for them. And I know Mother's Day and Father's Day particularly, these two holidays can hit people in different ways. These can be very difficult days for a variety of reasons. And I understand that. Others, maybe it's a great day. And so whatever is in the area of need, God is the God of comfort. And so we support you. We bless you today, no matter how this day is hitting you in this moment. And I believe that God is with you. And I want to honor my wife today. Summer is a great wife and a great mother. I married up when I married her. And she saw me. She chased me down. I was like, slow down, girl. Slow down a little bit. And then I said yes. And then that's how it all happened. But I'm so thankful that I married her. I have summertime all the time. Amen. I'm so thankful for Summer. I love you. And Mom, I love you. Thank you so much for everything, all your prayers and so much. You're a great woman of God. And Mom Cheryl, thank you for being a great mom. I love you, and I'm honored. I got both my moms in the front row. If I mess up, I'm going to get hit. They're going to beat me. Love you. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to preach a message entitled, The Legacy of Faith. Say that with me, please. The Legacy of Faith. You earn a living, by what you get. You leave a legacy by what you give. I used to think that legacy only happened in the positive sense, but that's not true. Every one of us in this room and online will leave a legacy. The question is, will it be a good one? One of faith, one of blessing, of love, or will it be one of chaos? And I've seen families have both of those situations be a reality. And so today, I want to speak to mothers. I want to speak this to you, mother figures and grandmothers and future mothers. And I want to speak to everyone in the room and online, because all of us has the chance to leave a legacy of faith. Amen. This message, I want to be very practical today. I want to be very simple. I want to just dovetail. Thank you for allowing me to be in California. My friend's church has taken off in San Francisco, a very unchurched part of our nation. And it was great to be there and preach at his church. And I know Pastor Kim did a great job. He was so practical. He discussed having good hygiene in church. Come on, amen. Just get down to it. I love it. And so I'm going to dovetail that and be practical today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. This is a great example for Mother's Day. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. Notice Paul said that same faith from them continues in you. That is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you. Notice this, when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Father, I thank you so much for this great day. Bless every family in the room and online represented. No matter the status or stage of life, I pray a blessing on mothers and future mothers and grandmothers and mother figures. I pray that all of us today would receive this, that we would exalt you today all over again, above everything and anyone, because you are the great King. Lord, please receive our worship today, and we ask you for more Holy Spirit during this worship experience. We pray you keep us safe in this moment as we go about our week. And I pray that all of us would take the courageous step and lay down resistance, set aside distractions from our neighbors, our phones, or wherever else, lean in, open our heart, receive, and apply your word. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. I believe there's something special about all of our prayers. When any one of us prays, I believe something special begins to happen. God begins to move when you and I pray. I also believe from Scripture there's something special about a mother's prayer and a grandmother's prayer. Hagar prayed for her son Ishmael, and God provided a well. Hannah prayed desperately for God, and God gave her Samuel, and she gave him to the Lord, and God gave her five more children. Many stories in the Scripture reference a mother or a grandmother praying and God moving on their behalf. So there's something special about you ladies, that God hears you and God moves. And I want to talk about the legacy of faith and what we see here in this Scripture. This is probably one of the, I would say, clearest examples in Scripture we see of a generational legacy of faith impact. Now, I am a fifth generation pastor. And so I'm thankful to be here today, but people have gone before me. I have my father and my mother, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, my great-great-grandparents, and my great-great-great-grandparents. And so I'm very thankful today for all that. I could go into the stories of all that. And yet, some of us in this room and online are a first-generation Christian. So it really doesn't matter if we have a generational, you know, lineage of faith or we're the first ones. All of us have equal opportunity to have a legacy of faith, to do something that outlives our lives and that goes on for eternity or that impacts eternity. Now, the Bible speaks that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I pray that all of us have the chance when we pass, if Jesus doesn't come, to leave an inheritance to our family, to bless them with, you know, things of that nature. But the greatest heritage we can ever give is faith, because faith lives forever when we serve Jesus. How do you leave a legacy of faith? I want to just break these scriptures down. Four things I see out of these verses that I want to encourage all of us to apply to our lives in a very practical way. The first one I see is that generational faith passed down. Generational faith is passed down. That means you and I have to be proactive in passing our faith down. It just won't happen by itself. We have to do it. In verse 5, Paul says, I remember your genuine faith, for you shared the faith that first filled your grandmother and your mother. And then he says, I know that same faith. So Timothy had the same faith as his mother and grandmother. Timothy was one of the key pastors of the early church. We know he's, because the Bible is an historical book, it's an accurate book, and it's God's word. Timothy was a key character in the early church, and yet his origin came from the faith of his grandmother and his mother. How do you and I generationally pass faith down? What's interesting is, we were talking upstairs in my office, and we believe in history that Timothy's father was not a believer. And so even in that gap, God came through the mother and the grandmother and raised up this man to be a man of God. I don't know where your father is today, but there is someone praying for you, and you're going to make it in the name of Jesus. Can someone say amen? Amen. How do you have a generational faith passed down? Very practically, I want to encourage you. Everyone, pray out loud over your family. You say, I'm not comfortable with that. And maybe some people don't feel the freedom to do that, then I would say, if you don't know what to say, grab the Lord's Prayer out of Luke 11 or Psalms 23, Psalms 91, and just pray something out of the Bible. But there's something about praying out loud for our family to hear us praying for them. Because if the enemy, I would say this, you and I are tempted to believe that our prayers don't work. This isn't, you know, this is not real. God doesn't hear. I'm going to stop doing this. And the reason why we're tempted to think that is because the devil is afraid of you and I praying, because it's actually working. Check this out. Anything the devil is not concerned about, he has no need to try to stop us. But the areas he tries to stop us shows us that God is moving as we move forward in those areas. So as you pray, God is moving. And so as you pray out loud, when our family hears us pray out loud, maybe in another room or over them personally, God is moving in the room. God is moving in their hearts. In fact, the pastor that really has touched my life and blessed me in Kentucky, he wrote this. He said, my parents were pastors as well. He said, I forget most of the messages that they preached, but their prayer room was right next to my room in the basement. And he said, I remember thousands of prayers because before I got up in the morning for school, they would come down and pray in the prayer room. There's something about you praying for your family out loud that God begins to move. You don't have to be eloquent in your words. You don't have to know exactly what to say. Sometimes just Jesus help is enough. Can someone say amen? But pray out loud. I want to encourage you, take time to teach your family the word of God. Now you may say, I don't know the Bible myself. We would love to help you. Our groups, we have Bible study groups and different groups to help you dig into the word, to learn theology, which is the study of scripture. We want to help you know what the Bible is saying. But as you begin to learn what the Bible says, I want to just challenge you, take time to teach your family the word of God. Last night at dinner, Summer and Zayden weren't there, but the rest of us were. And we just talked about different things. And then we just took time and all of us read Psalms 91 together as a family. It wasn't an hour. It wasn't some great message. And usually when we do this, someone's farting around the table. I'm not going to say who it is. It's not really spiritual. It doesn't feel spiritual. But when, God help us. But as we are doing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, as I'm sharing the Word of God, something is happening in the hearts of my family. I want to encourage you, take time. This is big, generational faith passed down. I think it's so important that you and I live what we say. They say that children do what their parents do more than what their parents say. It really is a disconnect of our faith if we come to church, worship Jesus, participate, and then get in the car and start cussing people out throughout the rest of the week. Our kids are watching. If you have an empty nest, your kids are watching your empty nest. They never stop watching. Have you noticed? They're paying attention. Other people are watching. In fact, sometimes someone and I go out for breakfast or dinner, and we've had this several times. At the end of the dinner, when the waiter or waitress comes and brings the check, at the end of the whole thing, then they tell me, I go to your church, by the way. And I'm like, well, thank you. I'm glad I acted right during this dinner. People are watching. And living, that doesn't mean we're perfect. If we make a mistake, we should say sorry to our spouse. We should say sorry to our children. Sorry to our coworker. Sorry to whoever. Have a spirit of humility and apologize. So we're not talking about being perfect, but we are talking about living our values out in everyday life. If we don't and we have two different lives, there's a disconnect in the legacy of faith and there's confusion, and Jesus wants you and I to generationally pass our faith down. Can someone say amen? Amen. Remember, this is to mothers today, but this is to men and all of us in this room and online. All of us can generationally pass our faith down. The second thing I see in our passage today in verse 6 is strength and leadership from church. Notice in verse 6, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. This is the Apostle Paul talking to a young pastor named Timothy. Notice that Timothy's mother and grandmother had him in proximity to spiritual leaders for Paul to pray for him. So this is a key point in passing down our faith, having a legacy of faith, rather, is that you and I, and I'm so glad you're here today. We're so thankful you're here. Thank you for being in the room and online. And with that said, that you and I continue to make church a rhythm in our life. It's not about perfect attendance at church. I think family should enjoy vacation, enjoy each other, have a reprieve, breathe a minute. All that's good. We're talking about having a rhythm of church, a rhythm that this is what we do. This is who we are. This is about what we're doing in our life. When you and I are a part of a local church, there's strength that's coming into our family. There's strength that's coming into you and I beyond what we feel, what we see, or what we know. Jesus created the church. The church isn't man-made, it's God-made. Jesus is the head of the church. The church isn't perfect because I am imperfect. You were imperfect, but Jesus is perfect. And we are here to worship Jesus. We're here to love Jesus. And then we're here as a church to reach people that don't know him and then to help people receive him and then be discipled to become a follower of him. I want to challenge you to allow yourself to be a part of a good church. I believe this is a good church. Not because I'm here. I believe Jesus is here. I'm confident in our accountability. I'm confident in our financial stewardship. I'm confident in the balance of teaching. I'm confident in the Spirit of God in this church for now over 116 years. I'm confident in what God's doing here. There's other churches as well. But find a good church and lock in. Because when you're a part of a church, God is moving. Sometimes we don't feel like being here. Sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes we're just kind of upset. But God is moving in ways we don't always see, feel, or know. When we come to the house of God, it's an act of faith. When you watch online, it's an act of faith. God is moving. The Holy Spirit is, he's brewing over us, so to speak. And he is working his works that we can't work for ourselves. And he's going into our family or our future family. I want to encourage you that God has something in the family of God for you. For families today and future families, there's something powerful about having a good leader. The Apostle Paul was a good leader for Timothy. And notice when Paul laid hands on him, when he did this to Timothy, a spiritual gift came into that young man. So that debunks the idea of it's just me and Jesus. No, it needs to be you and Jesus, but Timothy benefited from being in the church because when the Apostle Paul prayed over him, a spiritual gift came into him. And that's what can happen to you and I. For our children, Pastor Nikki does a great job in City Kids. I want to just give it up for her and her team. I want to encourage you, when you come to the house of God, your children are being taught the Word of God. They're having their own worship time. In fact, this summer, we have Summerfest for you and your kids. Bring them to Summerfest. Give them a chance to be touched by God. Give them a chance to be around other kids that are worshiping God. My daughter leads on the worship team, or she sings on the worship team in City Kids. One of my sons is joining the City Kids worship team next month. I noticed he can sing. And my dad told him, you can sing. And his music teacher said, you can sing. And so I'm saying, God's saying, you can sing. And I'm voluntelling him, you're joining the praise team. Amen. He's going to worship God. I hear my daughter worship God in her room when she plays. I hear my son sing outside by himself. That's not just because of his grandparents and because of me and Summer. It's because also of Pastor Nikki and the teachers and the effort in City Kids and the Spirit of God getting into the children. If you have a teenager, Pastor Cam and the movement do a great job on Wednesday nights. Come on, we thank God for the movement. Our teenagers need support. Our teenagers need to be in the house of God. They need to have a support system outside. In fact, I've told my sons that you can talk to Pastor Cam and other leaders in the youth group. As long as you're not in danger, as long as it's not something that I need to know, if it needs to be confidential with you and Pastor Kim, I'm fine with that. Because I want more people to be a part of my kids' lives than just me and their mom. Because this takes a village to raise a child, and it takes a village to get through life. Can someone say amen? We need the body of Christ. College students, young adults, Ted does a great job in the loft. I want to encourage you to join the loft. Be a part and have discipleship and be a part of a group. Be a part of something bigger than yourself. Adults, we have groups for you. We have dream team. There's something for everyone. But here's the deal. The church provides strength and leadership. Sure, we don't get it right every time. Sure, we miss it. But we move on. We move forward, make it right when we need to, and we exalt Jesus. But the Spirit of God is moving down the church, and it moves in the hearts of men and women of all ages. Be a part of the local church. There's impartation that comes through this. Can someone say amen? Amen. If the enemy didn't care about church, he would never try to get you and I out of church. This is why we can be so fickle with offense and hurt feelings and misunderstandings, and we can be just picky and get in our feelings and quit something that's eternal. Please move through your offense. Move through it. The Bible says in Proverbs that it's easier to win, or it's harder to win an offended brother, because it's like a castle behind bars. So when you're offended and you isolate, you think you're safe, but you're actually in a prison. You're putting yourself in a fortified prison. You think you're protecting yourself, but you're hurting yourself. We have to, offense is real, but we have to move through offense and get on the other side, because there's blessings in the family of God. How many love Jesus too? Let's give Jesus praise. He's the head of the church. I want to just say this real quick. As parents, it's important that you and I do not pass our offense down to our kids. You'd be surprised, over the years I've seen and heard young people, college students and younger, say, my dad and mom don't go to church anymore. They're offended. And they try to tell that to their child, not to go to church, because they're offended. We don't want to pass a legacy of offense down. We're talking about passing a legacy of faith down. And it's possible to pass down sins. Read the scripture. It's also possible to pass down blessing. And I want to pass down blessing. How about you? I'm going to pass down the blessing of the Lord. Number three, a legacy of faith. I want to encourage you, what I see here in verse 6. I call it stirring up the gifts of God. We're talking about the legacy of faith. Mothers, grandmothers, mother figures, future mothers, everyone in the room and online. How do you leave a legacy of faith? You generationally pass it down. You choose to be a part of a local church, just like Eunice and Lois did for Timothy. And then you choose to stir up the gifts of God. Verse 6, this is why I remind you to fan into flame the spiritual gift God gave you. Stir up the gift of God. We need to stir up the gift of the Lord. And so when you and I choose to stir up the gift of the Lord, when we're leaving a legacy of faith, we ourselves are being stirred. Paul said, awake unto righteousness. Sometimes we got to get stirred up, because it's easy to get dormant and just kind of going through the motions, or maybe even just retreating and quitting. We stay locked in and we stay purposefully engaged. We stir up the gift of God on the inside of us. We receive God's goodness and grace in our life by stirring up the gift. Now, again, I want to repeat here on this third thought that Paul imparted a spiritual gift to Timothy. For your note's sake, Hebrews chapter 6, the writer says there are six kindergarten. I'm going to use the word kindergarten. The word is elementary. There are six elementary doctrines, or kindergarten. Everyone say kindergarten. And one of those six basic doctrines is the doctrine of the laying on of hands. And many churches don't do this, but it's just kindergarten. And so today, if you want hands laid on you, come up to response or during response. The prayer team will lay hands on you. We've trained them to do it. They're not going to push you down. Can someone say amen? They're not going to rub your head wrong. I was a little kid. I was at the altar praying. I had five ladies get around me, and they were shaking me. One of them slapped my head and said, let it out and let it in. Let it out and let it in. I don't know where I was going or what was happening to me. Anyone have that happen to you before? Just kind of let it out, let it in. Oh, God, okay. I don't know where I'm at right now. My dad said I needed it. Probably did. There was a lady that passed away last year. She gave me a chance to preach at her church. She's in heaven now, and I appreciate her. But she prayed for me one time, and she did this. She was like, and I was like, can you pray the headache goes away? I don't know. So we've trained them. There's a way to do. It's not about the force. It's not about just grabbing their head. And it's not about doing that. It's just about, it's faith. We're not God. He's God. But somehow, biblically, when we lay hands on the sick, right, James 5, anoint with oil, they can be healed. When we lay hands on people, they can receive a spiritual gift. This is what happened to Timothy. There's no reference in Scripture this has stopped. It still happens today. So we stir up the gift of God by doing these things and letting God stir in our lives. I want to encourage you, let people pray over you. Let people bless you in the name of Jesus. Receive spiritual gifts. I tell you, another thing under stirring up the gifts of God is having open conversations about God, about the Bible, about struggles, about issues. There's a stat, and I've written a lot of articles about this on the website. 50% of families have said they do not have family dinner together. The 50% that do, the dinner lasts about 15 minutes. So we're Chick-fil-A in our dinners. We're in and out. Other families, they're in different rooms, looking on screens. No one's talking. No one's having time, meaningful time. I'm not here to tell you what to do. That's between you and God, but I am going to encourage you. I don't care if you have roommates, if you're married, you have kids, you don't have kids, you're empty nesters, whatever. I want to challenge you. Have meaningful dinners with the people you love. And take your phone and put it in your pocket. It's not even on the table. And look people in there. We got people texting across the table. How are you doing? I'm good. How are you doing? I don't know. This dinner is kind of weird. Joker, you're weird. Texting someone across the table. Put the phone down, look someone in the eye, and engage in conversation. I'm preaching good right now. This is good preaching. And have your dinner. Have your dinner be longer than 15 minutes. I remember when I was a kid, we lived in the parsonage by the church. We had a circular round dinner table, and I remember so many dinners around the table. One time I remember my mom and dad were gone, and we had babysitters, and we got on the babysitter's nerves. We probably made her lose her salvation, but I don't know if that's even possible. And she got mad at us, and she cussed at us, the babysitter. Get your ASS upstairs. And so we were just like, oh, wow. And so then we had family dinner around the table, and mom and dad were like, how was your babysitter? And Jenny was like, I don't know, mom and dad. She told us to get our ABC upstairs, and we did. That's a memory that I have because we took time around the table. We took time to have open conversations. We're talking about leaving a legacy. Now, as a pastor, I'm there in the beginning when babies are born, and I'm there at the end when someone dies. Last year, I had the privilege of being in a room in hospice, the hospice house here, of a couple that had been married over 60 years. She was passing away, and I was sitting there with her as she was passing, her husband, her family. And I remember looking at him in the eye, and I said, in this room, I can feel completion. It felt at peace. Of course, sadness. But also it felt peaceful, completed. Nothing was undone. Nothing was missing. Not perfect, but their marriage was going to finish strong. This lady was finishing her life strong. I had the privilege of doing her funeral, and I mentioned that at the service, how I felt the sense of completion in that room that night. I've also been in rooms where it was the exact opposite. Someone died, secrets come out, drama ensues, utter chaos, side chicks, this and that, all this, it all comes out, and it just like a bomb blows up, and now they're gone, and the family's left with shrapnel. Or if it's not that dramatic, unforgiveness, conversations didn't happen, things weren't mended, things weren't said, and now it's too late. What legacy are you leaving in this moment? What kind of thing are you leaving behind even as you're alive? Because everyone I've learned leaves a legacy. Everyone leaves something behind. And the greatest thing we can leave behind is our faith. Now, Paul said, Timothy, the very same faith in your mother and grandmother is in you. I want it to be said of me and everyone in this room and online that your faith is put into your children, into your grandchildren, and they carry it on. I'm speaking to families today that maybe haven't spoken. Maybe there's a disconnect. I understand there's so many different things that happen. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to encourage you. If something needs to be mended, say I'm sorry first. If something needs to be said, say it. Make it right. Be the trendsetter like Lois and Eunice were for Timothy. And leave a legacy that lasts generations. The fourth one I think is even more important. So important that we let these things wash away. I wanted to say one more thing about stirring up the gifts before I go on. That when you stir up the gift of God and you let God, of course, help you, and then you, as you're a part of a local church, you let the Spirit of God move in you. Healthy churches are not trying to get something from you. They're trying to help God come through you. That's why the Dream Team is a great outlet for gifts and purpose and abilities. It's the volunteers that we have here. Groups, giving of our tithes and offerings, worshiping God, volunteering at Healing Hands, doing all this stuff, and we're going downtown this summer for our downtown campus. All this is to worship Jesus, and it's outlets for us to stir up the gift of God on the inside of us. And the final one is overcoming fear. Paul said, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and of a sound mind." Everyone in this room and online will face fear. People have different teachings on this, but let's biblically, 365 times, the Bible says, God says, fear not. In this verse, the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. That means phobia. God does not use phobia to teach us lessons. The devil uses phobias to entrap us into invisible prisons. What the Bible does speak is that God wants the fear of the Lord to grow in our hearts. What's the fear of the Lord? That's reverence, or basically awe. Oh my God, God, you're amazing. And the more we grow in the fear of the Lord, in the awe of God, the more empowered we are to move through the phobias that try to attack and attach themselves to us. In other words, if I don't walk in the fear of the Lord, the phobia becomes big and God seems to be small, but that's a lie. But when I grow in the fear of the Lord, God becomes big in his rightful place, and that phobia begins to shrink and I begin to move forward one step at a time. But everyone has to decide what they will do with fear. And you and I can move forward in our faith. And the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. For mothers and all you ladies, as we honor you today, you can help your family overcome fear by you overcoming fear and helping them move forward in their faith. Be an encourager. Be one that builds them up. Be one that prays over them and encourages them to go do so, to go do something. Fear is a prison. Faith is life-giving. Fear robs us. Faith feeds us. Fear deceives us. Faith leads us into truth. I want to encourage you today, every one of us has a legacy, and you and I can have a legacy of faith when we honor Jesus and do these things, generational faith passed down, being a part of a local church, overcoming ourselves if we need to or when we need to, stirring up the gift of God on the inside, like the Apostle Paul said, and moving through fear, moving through it one step at a time. Now, I grew up in the 80s. That's the best decade ever. Can I get an amen for the 80s? Journey, great worship band. Don't make fun of me when I say this, but Karate Kid Part 2 has a great message. Daniel is fighting the bad guy. He is getting beat to a pulp. The bad guy is dirty. He's injured him. And he finally gives him a blow, and they're mocking him, and Daniel's on the ground rolling around, and Mr. Miyagi comes over, and he's like, I want to go home. I quit. I'm afraid. I quit. and missed your mark. I said, stop. Focus. It's okay to lose to opponent. You must not lose to fear. It's okay to try something and fail. What you can't do is not try because you're afraid. Fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. He will uphold our righteous. And Daniel gets up and he wins for 2 years in a row the karate championship. You can get up. You just can't let fear defeat you. Step out and try something for God and let Jesus help you pass down a legacy of faith. I'm going to end with this story. I've told this before. It was several years ago now, but I'm going to say it again. When my mother worked on staff here, she had a really rough day, a rough moment, and she came and talked to me about it in my office. And she was crying, upset. And she went back down to her office, and I kept on working. And probably about 5-10 minutes later, I had to come down to her office to talk to her about something, and the door was closed. We had windows in the office doors for safety reasons. And I looked through the glass, and that's what my mom was doing. I'm going to repeat myself. There's something special about the prayers of a grandmother and a mother. And when you don't know what to do, and some of you are there today, simply lift your hands and begin to praise the Lord. Worship God. I framed this picture and mailed it to all of my siblings with a letter. I wrote a letter to my siblings. I said, this is our mother, praying for each of us and our marriages and our kids. I took it, it's not a good quality, but I had to do it. I've showed this picture around the world because this is a living example of what every one of us can do. And all of us hit moments where we don't know what to do. And you can leave a legacy of faith, not by having all the answers, not by being strong all the time and having Bible answers. Lay that down. When no one's watching, I just happened to see this, but when no one's watching, lift up your hands and say, God, I need you today. Lift up your hands and say, Jesus, touch my son. Touch my marriage. God, touch my grandchild. Holy Spirit, move. You do that, you say, I don't feel anything happen. You keep on doing it till you do see it happen. You don't quit until this right here gives evidence to a legacy of faith pouring down onto you and your family. And every one of us, hear me, every one of us can do what my mom did that day. Try it right now. Take your right hand and just raise it up. You can do that. Come on now. Raise it up. Do this by yourself. Say, God, I need you. God, help me. I want to leave a legacy of faith. In Jesus' name. How many believe that God can do this for our lives, and through our lives, and through our faith? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. So be encouraged today. God is for you. Who can be against you? Please bow your heart and bow your head to heaven in the room and online. We're not here to embarrass you. We are here to help you move one step closer to Jesus. And you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus. I've never said Jesus saved me. And or I have, but I'm far from God. I need to come back to Jesus today on Mother's Day. I need to move forward. If that's you in this room, you would say for the first time and or I need to come back to God. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you right now. Thank you for hands up. Thank you. Good. Thank you so much. Good. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you today. Thank you so much. How many say, Pastor Dave, I need the courage to leave a legacy of faith. I want to do my best every day to pass it down generationally. I want to be a part of a strong church. I want to stir up the gift. I want to overcome fear. I want to help my family and my friends do the same. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over this room. Thank you. Good hands. I'm raising my hand. I want to do that. Follow me so no one's left out and say, Lord Jesus, my heart is yours, and I run to you. Please forgive me for anything that's wrong in my life. I turn away from that, and I say yes to you. And by the power of God, in my life, Every day. In the big things. In the small things. I choose to leave a legacy of faith. Please hear my prayers. Move through my life. Move in my family. Move in my world. And I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Jesus a great praise and respond to God.